Do you really want to know?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning, I'm Bill Radke. The fallout from the financial crisis is showing up in earnings reports. And no, you don't want to know. But I have to tell you, the first blue chip to report was aluminum maker Alcoa. The company announced after the bell yesterday a quarterly loss of more than $1 billion. From New York, here's Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson.
This is what happens when your product is used primarily in planes, cars, and construction. Those industries have pretty much collapsed, and that's sending aluminum prices tumbling.
The drop in demand over the last quarter has been so significant, not just in North America, in China as well.
Marco Giorgio covers the aluminum market for Crew Analysis in London. He says the demand-driven drop in price is being exacerbated by ever-increasing stocks of aluminum that nobody needs.
You've got huge amounts of stock available on the market and weak demand at the moment. So you need stronger demand, which will help to work through some of those back levels.
Aluminum's saving grace, he says, is food packaging, a.k.a. beverage cans. Even that remains flat. Until an economic recovery comes, cutbacks seem to be the way forward for Alcoa. The Pittsburgh-based company just announced plans to lay off 13% of its workforce. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
And how do you suppose investors are enjoying earnings season? Fears of earnings reports have led to selling in Asia today. Japan's Nikkei slumped almost 5% because Sony and Toshiba are expected to reveal red ink. Major European markets are down around 2%. The Dow lost 125 yesterday. S&P 500 and the NASDAQ both off about 2%. The price of oil still leaking, now under $37 a barrel. In other fuel news, Russia's state gas monopoly was said to be pumping again this morning, sending natural gas to Europe through Ukraine after a six-day cutoff that left much of Europe cold and dark. However, Russia's Gazprom now says it's clear that Ukraine has blocked gas transit to Europe.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting the health of people and communities through grant-making, employee giving, and volunteerism. The Medtronic Foundation, on the web at medtronic.com. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com.
Remember when the big complaint about cell phones was people bellowing into them? Oh, our phones are so much more now. Calendars, music players, web surfers, shopping portals. All that usefulness could be another kind of a problem. Today, two consumer advocacy groups are petitioning the Federal Trade Commission to investigate the mobile industry and lay down some privacy rules. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith has more.
The Center for Digital Democracy and the U.S. Public Interest Research Group are asking the FTC to investigate how mobile devices can mine data from users. The Center for Digital Democracy's Jeff Chester says smartphones have gotten a little too smart.
We don't think consumers understand that the mobile device they're carrying, in fact, has been designed to be this kind of commercial surveillance tool.
Chester says right now, marketers can see everything you do on your phone, from buying shoes to banking. They can even find out where you are at any given moment. Yankee Group media analyst Daniel Taylor says that is a lot of information, but marketers can already get most of it from your computer, and mobile advertising has some real limits.
The screen is small, and most publishers have decided that they're really only going to be able to deliver one ad per mobile web page.
Still, Taylor says, while most parts of the advertising industry are expected to contract over the next few years, he expects mobile advertising to grow about 9%. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
The cell phone cameras will be rolling next week as Barack Obama is sworn in on Abe Lincoln's Bible. It's not just an inauguration, of course. There's the parade and all the parties. Obama has got to pay for most of this. His inaugural committee's been raising the money, but not from corporations or registered lobbyists. The committee says it is refusing donations from those usual suspects. So how will it pay for everything? Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer takes a look.
President-elect Obama had some strong words about lobbyists during his campaign.
They will not run my White House. You'll help me run my White House. They will not drown out the voices of the American people when I'm president.
Now Obama is trying to live up to that promise. Inaugural fundraising is unregulated. Still, Obama has banned contributions from registered lobbyists, political action committees, corporations, and foreigners. Contributions from individuals are limited to $50,000. But the rules can be bent.
You could drive a Mack truck through the loophole on lobbyists.
Sheila Krumholtz heads the Center for Responsive Politics. She says lobbyists who haven't registered with the federal government can still contribute to the inauguration. And registered lobbyists can get around the rules, too.
Spouses of registered lobbyists can give. Spouses, children, it's a pro-family system.
Wealthy individuals can use their families to double their donations. A couple can give Obama $100,000. That's a lot more than the $4,600 limit for individual donations to the campaign. Still, inaugural committee spokeswoman Linda Douglas defends the Obama team's efforts.
There are the strongest restrictions to try to reduce the influence of special interests that we've ever seen.
Well, not quite.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President-elect William Jefferson Clinton.
According to Public Citizen, President Clinton banned corporate donations for his second inauguration. He limited individual donations to $100. Of course, Clinton could afford that because he had a surplus from his first inaugural, thanks to corporate donations. Obama also has a surplus from his campaign, but he'd prefer not to use that money for the inaugural. The inaugural committee has raised about $27 million so far, just over half what it needs. Douglas says the committee is also selling Obama memorabilia on its website and should meet its target. It recently encouraged the less well-heeled to pony up. If they gave $5, they were eligible for one of 10 free tickets for the swearing-in. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for joining us.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.